Malcolm Honlein is Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, joins us for the weekly update here at JM in the AM. Mr. Honlein, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. It's good to have you back.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I should mention, am I correct that it's next Shabbos that you're up at the Young Israel of the West Side?
Next Shabbos, starting Friday night. I know they have a dinner, and then I'll speak Shabbos morning, and then at Shalosh Shudas. So everybody's welcome. I think they can contact the synagogue and their websites where they can make reservations for the dinner. And I guess Saturday is free.
All right, so that's next week, Young Israel of the West Side. And your plans for this Shabbos, as far as I know, were postponed, correct? The convention for the RZA is going to be at a different time, right?
The RZA convention obviously was put off given the circumstances.
Right.
There were many, many other events. I think the community, you know, doesn't take into account what the ramifications in issues like this for things that are of relatively less significance, but impact everything.
Right. Where does this, and we'll talk about the election in a minute. You could imagine that that's really the item that everyone wants me to get to with you this morning, obviously. But Malcolm, where does this fall? You've seen, you know, on the scale of events that have affected our community, you've seen it all, as they say, in your career, and so many different types of things. In the aftermath of this hurricane in such an important community for the worldwide Jewish community, you know, the New Jersey, New York area, where does this, how do you look at this event?
Well, I think it's a reminder. It should humble all of us and also remind us what the real priorities are, what's really important. I was especially in Bell Harbor, where we had family members whose houses were badly damaged, and you see entire homes just washed away in a second. Terrifying, I mean, just gone, nothing left. And the impact that this will have for a long time, in addition to the cost, in addition to the disruption of lives, the number one, the achrayus, the responsibility we have for one another. I've seen amazing things that people have done. I know what the council with others, how they're the outpouring, the UJ Federation stepping up to the plate with money and communities, every shul filled. So it really reminds us of what it means, what arevus, responsibility for one another, means for the larger community, but certainly for our own. Secondly, I think it should focus us on the priorities, and sometimes the narish type that we think are important, it means that there are going to be sacrifices on the part of people so that all these institutions can come back.
Right.
The ramifications are going to be with us for a long time. This is not a short time deal. Maybe it also reminds us to understand better what Israelis have gone through, not because of hurricanes, but in circumstances that have caused dislocation.
Right.
And that we, you know, look at a distance. I can't tell you how many hundreds of emails I got from Israelis asking, are we all right, are we all right? And that they are sending aid here and doing things as well.
Yeah, no question about it. We've felt all of that. And what you mentioned in terms of folks in Israel, our brothers and sisters there have had their lives turned upside down, whether it be for a displacement or a terror attacks, whatever the circumstances may be. I think it's some people may think it's a stretch. I think it's a very good comparison. All right. The election took place on Tuesday, and we know that there are certain issues which are very important to this listenership. Number one, and this you predicted, I had it over 70%. You told me I'd be wrong, it would be a drop lower. You ended up being proven correct based on the exit polls. The most recent one I saw, 69% of the Jewish vote, as opposed to 4 years ago, which was 78%, went for President Obama. So I guess, as far as you're concerned, that's what was expected.
I think it was probably a little lower than that because I've seen different numbers. And again, it's very hard to get a precise judgment because most of the polls do not really count Jews, and it depends on which communities you count. You've seen, you know, there were some that went overwhelmingly for Romney. There were others that went overwhelmingly for President Obama. There was a diminution from last time. It was not catastrophic, I think. But one should look at all the demographics of this to remind us of this, what the direction America is in, what we have to do, the outreach we have to engage in, the efforts. You know, I heard a statistic yesterday that 50,000 Hispanics turn 18 every month in the United States.
Wow.
So their role in the political scene, as is entitled, is will grow, and we have to do more to educate them because these the issues that we often care about beyond the general issues, and that's the health and welfare of our country, but Iran, Israel, things like that.
Right.
have to do much more.
Yeah, for those who think that foreign policy issues like you just mentioned are not important to communities like that, they are making a very big mistake. And you've proven that over the years when outreach has had such an effect on groups that people thought you just could say goodbye to.
Absolutely. There's no community you write off. There are inroads being made by other groups into these communities, playing off themes that are unfair. But we, for instance, next week have a big group of top Hispanic media people going to Israel. We are doing more groups like that. And they come back very responsive, very enlightened. And we have to remember, there's a big evangelical community amongst Hispanics.
Right.
Everybody thinks they're all Catholics. It's not. It's a mixed. And the same is true of every group, Asian Americans,
right,
others. In
right.
every community where you have such people, we need to do more outreach.
Right. How many people have you spoken to from the Asian community who, after speaking to them, you realize it's just ignorance? They're not familiar with issues that are very important to our community that we live with day by day.
And how many of the issues Israel faces are really very similar to the concerns that they have?
Correct. All right. You know, the second part of this, in terms of what our listenership is most concerned, is very concerned about, I shouldn't say most, and that is, of course, the relationship with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I'm sure you saw the New York Times reaction. In fact, I was told on Wednesday that Israeli media within Israel was going nuts, blaming Netanyahu for what he has done to Israel with his frayed relationship with the President of the United States. And I thought the Prime Minister came back pretty strongly with his words about the cooperation that you've stressed and that we always talk about between the two countries. I mean, is there anything different today than last week in terms of Netanyahu and Obama?
Well, what's different is, of course, that you have an election in Israel, and everybody will use this issue who was in the opposition to diminish the vote for Netanyahu and to say that the outcome of the election, and because of the importance of the U.S.-Israel relationship, you know, they'll need somebody who can start with a clean page.
Right.
I don't think that is the case. Of course, chemistry, personal relationships do matter. The fact is that they did speak yesterday on the phone. If you look at the pattern of who the president spoke to yesterday, eight countries, it is very instructive and interesting. Then President Morsi of Egypt, Erdogan of Turkey, of course, England, France, Germany, Australia, Canada, but he also spoke to Israel. And the nature of the relationship. Look, there are real issues. The question of Iran is not related to the president and Netanyahu. It's related to a consensus position in Israel on prevention and the position that was essentially one of denying them the weapon, not the capability. That's a fundamental difference.
Right.
It didn't matter who got elected
right. To
address these things, but that's only one of many. But we should remember that the U.S.-Israel relationship has gone through ups and downs all the time in terms of the relationships between the presidents and prime ministers. But fundamentals remain the same. The support of the American people remain the same. And I think that while we had many changes in Congress, good and bad, overwhelmingly it's positive.
All right. And we should stress one other thing, and I can only do this with you on the air and because you're the authority on this, and that is that we have to remember as we wake up Wednesday morning after the election and as Netanyahu is being subject to this barrage of criticism. You have said many times in the last few months that this level of cooperation in terms of intelligence, in terms of military exercises, in terms of military planning, etc., between the two countries, I don't know if you'd say it's unprecedented, but certainly you'd say it's very, very high.
It's very high, and that underscores the common interest between the two countries. You know, while everybody was denouncing it, you had thousands of American troops and you had Israeli troops working, doing joint exercises for 3 weeks in Israel and in environs. There have been other exercises together. So, again, you know, so many things were politicized. And I think there were so many excesses during this campaign that people should examine that as well. And the rhetoric and the kind of things that are said, rather than focusing on issues and even to achieve the ends that they wanted.
You mentioned about the Senate. Maybe you were referring to the House as well, in terms of national elections for Congress that did not go exactly in a pleasing manner for you. Is there one or two you could point out, the folks who are leaving Congress now that you wish were not?
Well, the first, the retirements of Kyle Lieberman and others, is obviously regretful because they are real leaders. I think Shelley Berkeley is a great friend, and her opponent will be supportive, but she was a real advocate and friend. She lost in the Nevada race,
right.
The Democrat who lost. I just heard that Alan West Mavlos, or did lose his race, and it's being contested. Many others who were very much out front and received support. But overall, I would say that if one would assess the new House, that it is more positive. There were people who were, let's say, questionable on some issues or not necessarily in concert with what we think are America's best interests, who were defeated or left Congress. So it's always a balance. There are some who I think will be troublesome in the Senate, but overall you have such an overwhelming majority that stands on the right side of these issues, both Democrats and Republicans, that I think it'll be all right.
Would you anticipate a Netanyahu visit to Washington very soon, or that's not necessarily?
I would not.
You would not? So a few months from now, most likely.
I would say the first time would probably be after he forms a government next March. If then, maybe for the APAC conference. I think the right now things in Israel will be on hold. It will be a very tough race in Israel. The merger with Lieberman has mixed reactions, both mm-hmm. in Israel and here. You see the numbers. You have people contesting. Nobody, I think, who will replace Netanyahu, at least as we can see now, but it's going to be a very heated campaign and very nasty, I'm afraid.
Malcolm Holmline, we're doing our weekly update, a drop early this week, so we can concentrate in the 8 o'clock hour on the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. Anything we don't get to today, obviously, we'll try to cover next week in our regular slot for the weekly update. When you mentioned earlier that some are sitting on the side watching this media bashing of Netanyahu and see, you know, which way the wind is blowing, so to speak, were you referring specifically to Ehud Olmert?
No. Olmert has been very clear. He spoke here this week. He was very critical. I think he is not going to run. That's my sense. He won't make us. He didn't make any indication about what his intentions are. No, I wasn't specifically referring to Netanyahu or anybody else.
So Olmert, this is a prediction now from you that he won't run because many have said, or you know, in political analysis, they're saying he's literally just waiting to see what happens. If the opportunity presents itself, he'll jump back in.
Well, you know, the numbers belie some of the assertions. He's very popular in some respects, but you know, the government appealed yesterday his exoneration or the fact that they didn't convict him. The government has filed an appeal on that, so he'll face that, and he still faces the Holy Land trial.
Right.
So I can't see him running with these clouds over him.
Did Iran fire on a U.S. military drone over the Gulf?
Yes, this was a U.S.-made drone that was over international waters. They fired at the drone. They did not down it. And when people ask me why didn't Iran, you know, go public, why didn't they boast about it? Because they weren't successful in taking it down. So, but it's part of a much more assertive effort on their part. We saw that they've opened a new naval base over the last week in the Straits of Hormuz near the islands that are contested, the Abu Musa islands that the UAE claims. Mm-hmm. We saw them now hitting Israel over the attack in the Sudan, which occurred while we were not on the air, which is of great significance, and especially the fact that Khartoum is almost exactly the distance from Israel to Tehran as it is from Israel to that place in Khartoum. But Israel has hit, according to reports, the 6 times in the Sudan. It was never public this time. It was such a big explosion. There were 40 containers there, shipping containers, that are likely to have had weapons because Iran, that was the transfer port from Iran to Gaza, to Sinai, to other places. At the same time, you know, there are all sorts of rumors about the talks that were going on between the administration and Iran. And so you have mixed statements coming out where some are saying we reject talks and others are saying, you know, that they want to support the talks. The question is what will happen in terms of the substance, and is this a delaying tactic again on their part, using the mixed messages to confuse and do obfuscate as they have for so long? I mean, Ahmadinejad says anyone stockpiling atom bombs today is mentally retarded. We should know, but you know, these kind of messages are very strange, and question is what understandings do they reach? Can they reach on this issue? I think this is something that we're going to have to watch very carefully.
Was there UN reaction when Israel took out those shipments?
No, there was no reaction anywhere. First of all, Israel has not acknowledged that they did it, and there's no proof that Israel actually did it. I mean, Israel wouldn't do things like that.
Right.
But, you know, the head of the IEA said that Iran is not cooperating now, and the Iran says they're not going to suspend it. And then they say, well, the understanding with America, as has been told to me, is that they would allow enrichment, and Iran would give up 20%, so they would enrich to a lower level. We also have to remember that Iran is heading to a presidential election.
Right.
Khatami and others are already, you know, sort of putting their names out there. I think a thing to watch is the conference in Helsinki on a nuclear-free...
When is that?
Coming up this coming week.
And nuclear-free... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Nuclear-free Middle East.
Nuclear-free
Obviously
Middle East.
Obviously targets one country.
Right, we know about that. Mahmoud Abbas, now that the election here is over, Palestinian statehood, the attempt for Palestinian a self-declaration moves forward or not?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I know people glaze over when we talk about issues like this because they don't understand the significance. The unilateral declaration, and they, you know, they give the shmoom answer, you know, who cares what happens at the UN.
Right.
Well, the fact is that it has a lot of potential ramifications. One is that the goal, and Nabil Shah said this in a speech this week, he's a PLO official long-term time, that they will be able to go to the International Criminal Court. They want the standing that upgrading their status. It does not recognize them as a country. What they only the Security Council. They're not going to the Security Council, only to the General Assembly, where they have an automatic majority. The United States is working hard to try to prevent it. The Europeans have warned them, but many of them may go along with it and support it. I think he's definitely going ahead unless the U.S. is able to intervene with something. But it means that the aid is cut off. It's right now not flowing, but that this would, I think, be the Congress would not authorize any more money for them if they go ahead and do this. Nothing will change in the lives of Palestinians except for the fact that this becomes a propaganda vehicle. They may target it either for the 15th or the November 29th, which is Palestine Solidarity Day. The 15th of November is when the Algeria conference took place in 88. You know, these are just markers. They can do it at any time, but he seems to be hell-bent on going ahead with it. And the ramifications of this were clear when we had this debate, when he made a speech saying he doesn't expect to go back to Tzapet where he was born, and that caused an uproar with demonstrations against him, and he quickly backed down and he quickly, you know, withdrew his assertion. But you see how the tension is and how critical, you know, a thing like this, because of the backlash that nothing happens. And when you add to this what's happened in Gaza while we were off there with the Emir of Qatar going there and Morsi and Erdogan of Turkey saying he's going to go, and the strengthening of Hamas and getting more money, and the split between them being exacerbated. So he should be focusing on his domestic situation, and instead he's putting all the emphasis on this because this avoids negotiations. He says that, you know, he accomplishes what Arafat didn't.
Right.
In fact, it doesn't change on the ground. It could become dangerous.
And it's funny that you mentioned this today, because just this week I noticed more and more articles about these polls among Palestinians about would they rather be, you know, citizens of Israel or citizens of the PA, so to speak. And, you know, obviously, at least the ones that I read were talking about how many of them, that was the focus, how many of them would rather be under Israeli government. And it's funny that all this is happening, and at the same time we're seeing that type of public opinion from those residents of the PA.
Absolutely, yeah, and you know, East Jerusalemites are registering in unprecedented numbers to become citizens of Israel. Druze in the Golan, who for a long time talked about you know, being Syrian citizens after 67 until now, are also beginning to apply in larger numbers to become citizens of Israel when they see what's going on in Syria and say we don't want to.
All right, we're going to wrap up in a second. I remind our listeners, if you missed what Malcolm had to say regarding post-election, it'll be up in the archives later on. Plus, of course, you have the podcast delivered, weekly update podcast delivered straight to your iTunes. Information on our homepage at jmnam.org. By the way, rumors are flying. I'm sure you've heard them and read them, that Hillary Clinton will be leaving her post. What do you think of last night's rumor that Susan Rice may replace her?
Well, I mentioned this on the show a long time ago,
right?
And I think it's—I would say that she is the front runner. Senator Kerry is another name that has been put forward. This has been going on for a long time. Secretary Clinton said 2 years ago that she was going to step down after this term, and speaking to people yesterday, it seems that she is going to go ahead. Some thought she might stay on a bit longer and transition. Ambassador Rice, who served at the UN till now, may find some obstacles in the Senate confirmation process
right.
because of the Benghazi business.
No question.
I think she is certainly a front runner.
Do you think that Hillary will run for president in 2016?
You know what? I'm worried about the next 4 weeks, 4 years from now.
I know, but
what's going to happen?
But you know, if she ends up running, then it's interesting that leaving her post now might be to her advantage, though.
It's often the case that politicians who go away for a little while, they become much more popular when they don't say anything.
Right.
And also use it as a chance to build support. She has already all the name recognition. She has the financing. So for her, it's less forgiving. And she has certain legacies, you know, in Syria. We saw all of the fighting now in Damascus stuff. We have talked about being very important. We see the radicalization of the opposition, and now the direct talks with them. The U.S. reversing her, she reversed the stand on the support for the National Council, the Syrian National Council, and they say they want to build a different opposition. The Turkey talking about putting Patriot missiles on the border and creating the safe zone, which I reported a long time ago as being their real goal, and that is to topple Assad and to create Sunni dominance. We're seeing more and more the Sunni-Shiite split becoming significant, and the trial in Turkey now of the Israeli military officials over the Mavi Marmara.
Right. How many people are officially on trial, like 150 or so?
No, it's really focused on four or five guys.
Oh, that's it, four or five
but,
people?
You know, they put everybody whose name they could get. Everybody
right.
whose name appeared in the press and everything else, of course, they throw into it. They're all being tried in absentia. There are
right.
none of them are there, but it's you know, it's the chutzpah of this thing here. They authorize these terrorists and extremists to go on the trip, and then they come back and now want a trial.
All right.
No trial.
Malcolm, please God, next week, regular time. A reminder, next Shabbos, Malcolm of the Young Israel of the West Side. You can contact the synagogue for information about their program Friday night, Young Israel of the West Side. Malcolm will be addressing the election. I can only imagine how many topics. How did Flatbush go? Did you get to a lot of topics in Flatbush?
Actually, I got to a lot. We were there for about 2.5 hours. I'll also be at the Young Israel New Brunswick on Sunday night, and I'll be in Queens on Saturday night. Huh. I'll give you the information.
I hope you have a full tank of gas, Mr. Homeline.
Personally, yes. My car is the problem.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you know, don't go green to all these personal appearances without making...
I keep telling people they should go to Tabby Shul after Kiddush that serves a chore and a lot of gas.
Beer. All right, thank you, Malcolm. We'll speak again next week. Malcolm Homeline is Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, joins us for the weekly update.